ESPN football and basketball voice and the voice of the San Francisco Giants, Dave Fleming, joining me in OC here on a Thursday. How are you, Dave?
I'm great. I survived a little encounter with some local wildlife and made it on to talk to you guys, so I'm feeling invigorated.
Where were you hiking today that you ran into some wildlife?
What's it called? Lake Blatch? Is that a lake up?
Yeah, Lake Blanche.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Blanche. Okay, that's it. So I was killing a few hours. I decided to take a hike up there, and a moose he and I came together.
What?
Which I did not expect to see one of those up there. I didn't know Utah had moose.
Oh, we have meese, yeah.
And he wasn't real happy to see me, so that was the end of my hike. I sort of decided that that was a good... I'd gone a long way anyway, so it's time for me to come back and talk to you guys.
Wait, that... You can't just... Did you, like, back away slowly? Did you have to climb a tree? Did you throw a rock? How did you escape this malicious moose?
I could really embellish the story right now and make it a great story because there was nobody up there to witness it. But he did not come after me. He was eating, and he looked at me, and he made a sound. And to me, the sound was sort of like, okay, if you back off, then I'm just going to stay here chewing on this grass. This is the honed San Francisco, wildlife expertise that I have bringing from the city here to Utah. So I took that as a sign, and I went the other way.
That's fantastic. I love that story so much. Little encounter with a moose.
It was a great welcome to be here. It was a beautiful day. I had a few hours to kill. I thought, well, I'll get a little picnic and climb up the mountain, and I saw some wildlife, so what the heck.
Welcome to Utah, Dave Fleming. And now tomorrow night you'll get a little football with the Utes and the Aggies, 112th time in their history. Utes had a good opener, beat Michigan in a game that they had mostly control of. Utah State had a little struggle in their 1AA matchup in their opener against Southern Utah. You've done your notes. You've done your research. What do you make of this matchup tomorrow night?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to know exactly what went wrong for Utah State. Now, ultimately, they got a win, but not an impressive win. And even on the Ute side, I mean, I think Michigan's defense is a pretty good defense. Michigan is not a really good team. They're going to be improved under Harbaugh, but it's going to take a little while. And I was expecting a little more. I actually thought Utah was going to take it to them. And, it's the first game. It's very hard to make big judgments off of a first game because there's no preseason. You don't get to work the kinks out except for in practice. And I understand that. But I think that makes this matchup a little harder to predict. I do. I mean, at least when I looked at it, it was a 13.5 point spread. I mean, that seems high to me. Utah State has a good defense. The rivalry game, those kids will play hard. These games have been fairly close the last few years. Booker will be the best player on the field, but I do think that Utah State can hang with them.
Yeah, one thing that's interesting lately, I want to say the last 5 to 7 years for Utah State, when they match up with the bigger brothers here in state, with Utah and with BYU, it used to be the talent disparity was obvious, and if Utah State was going to make that up, it was with scheme and with trick plays, and the coaches would somehow harness some sort of momentum because of billboard material or something like that. The gap is certainly narrowing, even as Utah heads into the Pac-12 and is bolstering their talent pool because of that. Now Utah State, though, is becoming more consistent in their production of, like, NFL talent, and the guys not only going to the NFL, but several of them excelling now. And there's a couple guys that I'm sure have jumped out at you in your notes on this Utah State roster who kind of fit that mold. Kyler Fackrell, the linebacker who they missed all of last year, and then the younger Vigil after his big brother just made the Miami Dolphins, another Vigil brother playing in that linebacking core. Is it foreseeable, is it feasible that Utah and Devontae Booker have a hard time running against Utah State's defense because of those great linebackers?
Well, I could see that happening. Now, Booker is a special player, but they struggled, to my eyes, against Michigan. And, there weren't big holes there. Booker had to do a lot of it on his own. He had to do a lot of it through the passing game. it wasn't as powerful. I mean, at home last year, there were a lot of moments where Booker just overwhelmed teams. And that definitely did not happen against Michigan. And it was not easy going. Again, week one to week two, there can be a big improvement. But to me, Utah State's front seven, the front of their defense, is, I mean, if it's not as talented as Michigan's, it's in the ballpark. It's not that big of a difference between Michigan and Utah State. So, I would expect that Utah State could produce a similar kind of defensive effort, make it tough. I mean, I think that's the goal for the Aggies, is make it tough. Don't let Booker break off these big chunks of yardage and make them earn it. And if they do, I think they can keep the game close.
He's Dave Fleming. He's got the television call tomorrow night. I'll have the radio call. Dave will be on the TV side of it with Mac Brown on ESPN tomorrow night. Wanted to ask you, as a guy that's based in San Francisco, a guy with Pac-10, Pac-12 ties, this is Utah's now fifth season in the Pac-12 conference. How do you kind of rate how Kyle Whittingham's team has acclimated itself over its first four heading into its fifth year?
Well, I think they're doing a good job. They have made a lot of progress, unlike the other newcomer in the Pac-12. Which really has not, Colorado. I think Utah has gotten up to speed largely. And part of that, to me, is the atmosphere of the stadium, where it's sold out every game, where they have a true home field advantage. But in these power conferences, you better have that, because you're going to go on the road and other teams will have that against you. And that is a big part of what Utah has done. And it's incredible. I mean, everybody knows Kyle can coach, and that this program has produced a lot of talent. But it is, to me, the biggest thing about making a jump like Utah made, like TCU has made, and others have made, is you don't get a breather where you have to have some depth of talent. You know, Utah could play in a BCS bowl game and pull off an upset or hang with a power team. That's different from playing one week after week after week, 12 weeks in a row. And that's where Utah's made a lot of progress in the depth of talent and their ability to do that. And it's taken them a few years, but I think they're there. And I think they will be a force in the Pac-12 because of the commitment to the sport, because of the university, the facilities, and because of the head coach, who has done a good job.
Dave Fleming, our guest for a couple more minutes here on ESPN 700, talking little Utah versus Utah State. Chucky Keaton is a guy that Utah State Aggie fans have missed in the past couple of years because of injuries, and the hope was that his return and his healthy return would mean that the offense gets rolling again very comfortably, and that's not what we saw week one against an FCF squad in Southern Utah University. Knowing what we know about him and sort of the long-term arc of his career and how consistent he has been, do you consider that an anomaly of a performance by Chucky?
Well, I hope so, because I think everybody around the sport is rooting for him, because he has been such a dynamic player, and he's been a fun guy to watch, and he's helped build that program up. I mean, he has been one of the reasons why they have grown as a program in the last 5 years. I mean, that performance against Auburn, I mean, it seems like so long ago now, that got people talking about them. And I think that was a part of upping the talent level in their program. I hope so, because I do think they have some depth at the quarterback position, and I do think that if the performance is like what it was in week one, it's going to be real hard for Matt to stick with a guy who I know is one of his favorites, and it's just the ultimate battler and warrior. But if he's not, if the mobility is gone, if that athleticism is gone, and I am not saying it is, but week one, it was tentative for sure. He's not the same player. And you can't have a productive offense if he's just standing in the pocket, I don't think, and chucking it down the field. I mean, his game is dependent on all that extra stuff that he brings. And frankly, I mean, Utes fans don't hope so, probably. I hope we see some of that here in week two, whatever the outcome of the game is, because he's a guy to root for. He is. He's hung in there and has been a true tough guy through some really, really disappointing injuries. It didn't look the same to me week one. I hope it looks a lot different tomorrow night.
Dave, big picture Pac-12 question for you, and this isn't based on week one. My fear over the summer and leading into the season was, the balance, the parity, the talent top to bottom of the Pac-12 might be so good this year that the league might cannibalize itself and might be on the outside looking in of a Final Four bid or berth. What's your early season read on the conference, and do you think that might be a possibility?
Well, they better survive the non-conference before they start eating each other, because they're getting eaten by everybody else after 1 week. I mean, it was not a good week for the Pac-12. And I'm a Pac-12 alum. I'm a supporter. I'm a believer. And I really have felt like the talent gap between the Pac-12 and the SEC has closed considerably in these last few years. If you watched across the board, I watched a lot of the games week one, you would think that that talent gap is back to being significant, because those SEC teams and Ohio State to me look like on a different level than basically anybody. I thought UCLA was the most impressive team in week one, but I'm not sure about the opponent, and they were at home, and it wasn't like they just blew the doors off University of Virginia. It was a discouraging week. It made me pause. I'm with you. I try really hard not to make big judgments off of 1 week. But with almost every team in the league, you could find something, oh, man, that didn't look good, or, oh, that's a weakness I didn't anticipate, or, you know, there was a question mark that USC's offensive line looked horrendous in week one against a not very good defense in Arkansas State. Oregon's secondary was just torched by Eastern Washington. Arizona State could not give the quarterback a half a second to throw a pass. Stanford's offense looked like it's regressed back to about 8 years. I mean, those are supposed to be powerhouse kind of. Arizona did not play very well in their opener. Those are supposed to be the power teams of the league. This is a big week for the Pac-12 to look better, to play better, to prove that they have solved some of those problems. Who knows? Maybe it was just a coincidence that everybody showed warts in the same week, and it's going to look different this week. But I cannibalizing may be the least of their problems if some of those teams don't get their act together.
We'd be remiss if we didn't take the chance while we have you on to talk a little bit of baseball. How ugly is it going to be in Oakland for the A's fans if Donaldson wins an AL MVP and Cespedes wins an NL MVP? I know that it's unlikely that that scenario plays out, but are the A's fans going to riot if it does?
Unlikely, but they're already upset about it. They are, and they should be. I mean, you know, the Cespedes trade was something different. Now, you can look back on it and say, man, it was strange to trade your cleanup hitter when you have the best record in the big leagues in the middle of a pennant race. And that's what they did, but they got the ace, and the ace pitched in the wild card game, in the big game, and it didn't work out. But I understood the move. I thought you could justify the move. Yeah, the Josh Donaldson thing is just, and maybe there's some story behind the scenes that we don't know about. Maybe he and the A's just weren't getting along. I don't know, but that you could never justify that one to me. I just don't know what was going on there. And A's fans are ticked about it. They should be. I mean, this guy's one of the 5 or 10 best players in the whole game, and it was signed for several more years, was not a pending free agent, and they just didn't get much back for him. And that is a gigantic franchise-changing mistake for a franchise that's made a lot of really, really smart and good decisions. And A's fans are cranky about it. They've sold off a lot of players over the years, but this Josh Donaldson thing is uglier than most from a fan perspective.
Dave, you got to experience something up close last year that I experienced 29 years ago at Kauffman Stadium as a lifelong Royals fan. The Giants ripped my heart out last year, but that was okay. It was a great series. Lifelong Royals fan, they're in pretty good position right now. Do you like their chances of maybe getting back and having a shot again this year?
I do. I like their chances. I think I'd like their chances even better if Johnny Cueto weren't, for some reason, not performing. I mean, I think that was the perfect trade for them to make, and now all of a sudden he does not look like himself. And that was the missing piece for them, was sort of the ace to match up against whoever's going to be this year's Bumgarner. You know, one thing about the Royals is we've been spoiled with the Giants, and we have a home field advantage in San Francisco that is almost second to none. It's a crazy place to watch a playoff game. And we've seen road playoff venues now 3 times in 5 years all the way through the playoff. No place even touches what Kansas City was like. I mean, it was amazing how loud and raucous it was there. And it was a factor in those games. It was a big factor. They have that on their side. It'll be that and maybe even more some this year. They got to get Quaco going, though, because that, you know, that could crop up as a weakness again.
Well, if there's anything good, Cueto isn't performing, but whatever he's done, he's had a good effect on Ventura, and he needed it.
That is true, and maybe, you know, it was funny how that all worked out where they sent Ventura down and called him up about 10 minutes later. Another guy got hurt, but it was almost like, well, message sent. And I think in some ways for a young guy who the last year sort of dominated the sport at a young age and was strutting around thinking like he's got this thing figured out, and then all of a sudden he's getting his brains beat in, maybe it was a little bit of a wake-up call for some more focus, for some more pregame preparation, for some more conditioning, all those things that you have to stay on top of. The competition is so brutal in the big leagues. If you let that stuff slip, you slip. And I'm not saying that's what happened for sure with Ventura, but something happened to where that message was sent, and he has been a different guy since then.
He is the play-by-play voice of the San Francisco Giants. He is also an ESPN play-by-play man for football and basketball. Dave, my advice to you would be to go down to the hotel gift shop, get some moose repellent if you're going to take a hike tomorrow before the game.
I may just walk around the parking lot of the hotel. This San Francisco guy, that may have been enough wildlife.
Downtown is very clean. There are fewer homeless people in downtown Salt Lake than there are in San Francisco, so you won't be bothered downtown.
There are fewer people in downtown Salt Lake than there are homeless people in San Francisco.
It's clean and nice, and you'll have a nice walk downtown. Hey, thanks for jumping on with us. I'll pop up and say hi before the game tomorrow, but you and Mac and Allison have a good call.
Okay, please do. I mean, I expect a good one. I think it will be a fun game.